Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A year ago, on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we did not see each other. I was recording sermons Sunday morning to be released at our usual 10 a.m. service time for those of you worshiping at home. We were all at home. Gatherings of any size were not allowed. And I remember thinking, how long will this go on? I remember thinking, this can't go on forever. Our society can't suffer a social and economic lockdown for more than a little while. Well, three waves of COVID later, we are back in church, but still in a societal lockdown of sorts. Thankfully, it was only for a little while that we weren't able to gather as Christians. A little while in the scheme of things, anyway. 3 months, I think it was. And we have been blessed, as a small congregation, not to have to regulate our worship attendance or to have to struggle to abide by a 15% of the fire code limit for our sanctuary. Some have decided to continue to stay at home until the pandemic is full over. Others, us, have decided to gather. And it is right that each of us should be convinced in his own mind about what to do. After all, even if this pandemic goes on for years, it's still only a little while when compared to eternity. For to God, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Jesus says to his disciples, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me." Now there, he might be, and probably is, referencing his burial, in which 3 days is a little while. Or he might be referencing his ascension, where we see him no longer, because he is ascended to heaven, to the right hand of the Father. Or, of course, he might be meaning both. When God speaks of time in this way, "In a little while, behold, I am coming soon. The kingdom of heaven is near," it doesn't really help us to think chronologically, like counting the tickings of a clock. Now, to be sure, God created the earth in 6 chronological days and rested on 1 chronological day. But we know that because he designated the time. He said the number of days. But when Jesus says a little while, the little is not so much an indication of minutes or hours or days or years. It's rather an indication of the incomparable greatness of what is to come. A lake can be a large body of water, so large that you cannot even see the opposite shore. But it's just a little pond compared to any of the vast oceans. Just a little pond. So too our sufferings here are little compared to the eternal joys that are promised to come. Albert Einstein is famous for having been a genius and having revolutionized our understanding of physics with his theories of relativity. In explaining relativity once, he supposedly put it this way: when you sit with a nice girl for 2 hours, you think it's only a minute. But when you sit on a hot stove for a minute, you think it's like 2 hours. That's relativity. And you may remember when Jacob committed to working 7 years to have Rachel as his bride. The scripture says they seemed like only a few days to him, because of his love for her. Likewise, Christ suffered 6 hours on the cross, but they were an eternity, because he accepted willingly the full wrath of God for all of our sins. And after he suffered the eternal punishment of hell in our place, it was only a little while he was buried, and then he was raised. He appeared to the women. He appeared to his disciples. And he appeared to as many as 500 people at once, carrying the marks of atonement on his hands and side. He ascended into heaven that way. And so now we will not see him, but only for a little while. 1900 some odd years ago, in the Revelation of St. John, he said, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me." That may sound like a long time ago, but should he tarry another 1900 years before returning, it will still be but a few days for those who have believed and found their peace in his wounds. And this is why you need the pure spiritual milk of the Word daily in your hearts and in your minds. Because there is no hope for this world as far as the eyes can see. We are some 13 months and 3 waves past the time when it was announced 15 days to slow the spread of COVID. We still can't eat together at a restaurant, any of us. We still receive communion at the altar, one person at a time. A year ago, I was concerned how well it would be received in our church, by you all, if we required the wearing of masks for worship, because they seemed so strange and uncomfortable. Now I hear people talking about how they'll probably wear masks whenever they're sick, even after COVID. The world will never be the same. But then again, it never is. Post-World War, post-Cold War, post-9/11, post-COVID. The world is always pushing past something. But where are we headed? Hoping for the world to solve its problems? Waiting for that to happen? Is exactly what Paul says it is. Always seeking, but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And the truth is this: we will never save the world, because the world has already been saved. We only need wait in patience and holiness. Wait upon the Lord for the day to come. Christ has commanded us that in the midst of worldly panic and stress, he said, "Straighten up and raise your heads, because it is your redemption that is drawing near." You know the truth, if only you'll believe it and hold it in your heart above all other hope. The beauty of our hope is that it is a certainty. It is a victory already won. You cannot hasten its consummation. Neither can anything you do hinder it. You wait for it, and it will come. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and he has the keys to death and Hades. He will not drop them or misplace them, nor can the devil snatch them out of his hands now. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church, and all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can you call upon one in whom you have not believed? With these words, St. Paul does not mean to condemn anyone, but truly, in our struggles, in your griefs, in your very real trials and temptations of this life, where is Christ? Do you see him? Is he there in your mind, with them, in your heart? Or is he as far away, unable to help because you cannot see him as vividly as you can see your problems? And you obsess over your problems because you fear what will happen if you don't. But he sees your worries, and he knows your sorrows more intimately than you know them. He experienced a more profound grief, a deeper sadness, a longer struggle, and a lonelier road than you. And he's never far away, and he always draws near to those who call upon his name. We are in this world a short time, and I mean that both chronologically and relatively speaking. Some of us live to 70, or by strength of years, 80, and others are sooner cut off. But given the unsurpassable greatness of the joy that has been revealed to us, our suffering is a day, and our joy a lifetime. A mother gives birth and forgets her pain, scorning it for the joy of a child born into the world. A Savior gives his spirit and forgets his shame, scorning it for the joy set before him. And you, Christian friends, suffer a little while. But look past it. Set your hope to where true joys are found, and no one will be able to take your joy from you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes our human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.